The Sean Green Show. Sean covers all things entertainment. Movies, books, news, concerts, television, video games, the entertainment guru. Sean covers it all. This is the Sean Green Show podcast. The Sean Green Show podcast on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.
Welcome back to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there listening. Hey, make sure you guys go up to SeanGreen.com. That's SeanGreenShow.com. All the latest podcasts, interviews, and news are up at SeanGreenShow.com. Also, check me out on Facebook. It's Sean Green Show Media. And on Twitter, it's at Sean Green Show. If you want to check me out on Twitter. Jam-packed show for you today. Holidays is just around the corner. We got almost less than 2 weeks before Christmas, and if you haven't thought about any type of gifts to get that someone that's a gamer, I got the remedy for you right now. Ray Carcillo, the review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com, and RayCarcillo.com. He joins me right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
How much, Sean? How you doing, dude?
Hey, I'm doing all right. So, all right, there's been a lot of ad campaigns for Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. Idris Elba, he's been making the rounds, promoting this game. Is this game living up to the hype?
In some ways it is, and in some ways it isn't. It's running into a lot of the same problems that Star Wars Battlefront had, in that its lack of a single-player campaign is really bothering a lot of people. Also, it's matchmaking. It's having a lot of issues with that. It's having a lot of problems getting people into matches and finding full lobbies. But if you can find a match, if you can get online, I will say that Rainbow Six Siege is one of the best multiplayer experiences of the year. It is tightly designed. The map layout is tremendous. 11 original maps. And the character balance, there's 20 different operators that you can choose from to play as. Each one has their own specific gadget, but the balance between all 20 is top-notch. So it's really a shame that they're having some technical issues and that there isn't really a single-player campaign to remind people why Rainbow Six is great, because Rainbow Six, this is their first entry in the franchise in over 7 years. So it really would have been nice if they had a single-player in there to remind people why this franchise is so beloved.
Wow, and then they said that the game is too realistic. Can you explain that to me? I mean, is it that real? Does it feel that real when you play it?
Yeah, I definitely think I don't think it's a bad thing, but I think that the tactics that you have to use in terms of actually going into a situation or a scenario, whether it's saving a hostage, defusing bombs, or just eliminating all the terrorists, because, of course, the main mode is called Terrorist Hunt. It's a classic mode from original Rainbow Six from, you know, almost 2 decades ago. You have to go in. You have to go to these situations. You have to work as a team. You can't lone wolf this game. If you lone wolf it, you're going to be dead. The AI is really, really strong. It's really, really powerful. Even on normal, it works really, really well. And so I would say that in terms of realism, it's definitely something that you might see in like a more realistic scenario. And that's what Rainbow Six has always been about, was really trying to get that sense of realism. This is how tactics work. This is how, when, you know, hostage situations occur, this is how SWAT teams operate. This is how the FBI operates. This is how Spetsnaz operates in Russia. You know, these are how these teams come together and really have to work as one. And I think on top of it, the graphics and the destruction engine is easily, we've never seen anything like this before. You can change the map dynamically. You can change the sight lines. Like, one of my favorite characters, his name is Sledge. He, you know, as his name would apply, he carries a big sledgehammer with him. But he can punch holes in, like, almost any wall and change the sight lines with his sledgehammer. And suddenly you can get to jump on somebody that they won't expect it. And there's also these also really awesome devices that let you see through walls, heartbeat monitors, really top of the line tech that you will see that is actually used in the real world. You can use in this game, and it's really interesting to see different strategies that emerge from it. And even though there's 11 maps, no map plays the same way twice, because each time you can play it differently. You can break different walls, you can break different floors, you can use different devices, And I think that's really the thing that's really so special about this game, which is why, again, I wish they could get their tech stuff worked out and they could actually get people into matches.
Now, as far as the story mode, now you think they can probably fix this in the coming months, or you think this is pretty much it and everybody's just going to go to that multiplayer mode?
No, they're not gonna fix the single player. So they have it's called situations, and basically all situations is doing is teaching you the maps, teaching you the guns, and getting you warmed up for multiplayer. And I think it's kind of sad that they didn't do anything with a real narrative or a real story behind it, because I think, like I said, I think the fans of Rainbow Six, and this is Tom Clancy's most frequented series, more than Splinter Cell, more than Ghost Recon, it's been Rainbow Six, even with a 7-year hiatus. So for them to not provide a story mode, shout out to all the Ding Chavez fans out there, people who play Rainbow Six will know what I'm talking about. It's really kind of sad that they didn't include a single player with this. I don't think they're going to include a single player with this in the future until hopefully we get another Rainbow Six game down the line. Hopefully this does well enough to warrant, to show Ubisoft that there is still a Rainbow Six audience out there and that we really would like a full game at some point.
Now let's move on to Xenoblade Chronicles X. Now is this safe to say that this is a sci-fi RPG?
Yeah, so Xenoblade Chronicles X is basically a souped-up version. What the original vision was for Xenoblade, the original Xenoblade Chronicles, which was on the Wii. So it's different characters, different world, but it's kind of like taking the mechanics from that and amping it up. So it's a sci-fi JRPG, easily a 100, if not 200-hour time sink, massive world. And what it is that basically you play as a bunch of characters who are, Earth has been destroyed. There's no Earth left, but you've settled a colony on another planet called Mira, and you're in New Los Angeles, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to survive this new world and build up the remnant of humanity and kind of take over this world. There's a lot of, obviously, threats out there, and there's also an indigenous people. So you're constantly, with these aliens, you're constantly butting heads with them. And what's cool, though, is that there's massive boss battles. You have these things. Basically, they're like Gundam units, right? They're called Skells, giant robots that you can pilot, that you can get in, and you fight these even more massive bosses. So there's a lot of sci-fi elements, a lot of RPG, but it's definitely a true JRPG, massive time sink, but it's great. If you love JRPGs and you have the time, and you love giant robots, which I don't know who doesn't, Xenoblade Chronicles X is definitely something to look at for the Wii U.
All right, great. Now, Christmas is right around the corner, and I'm one of those guys that I relish in the fact of going to the stores Christmas Eve. I wait to the very last minute to get gifts for people. I have a lot of gamers in my family, so going to like a GameStop or ordering stuff online, if I get it online at this point, it's too late. But if I go like to GameStop or Walmart or any of those big box retailers, I'm going to ask you if you used to have like a top five games to get that special gamer for Christmas, what would it be?
Oh man, see that's. It's hard because there's, like you said, it's a balance of, do you want great deals or do you want great games? Because there's a lot of games that are also on sale right now.
Uh-huh.
But things like you can get Bloodborne from earlier in the year for only $20 now. Call of Duty's down to half price. There's a lot of great games. But if I had to pick like just that my top five that I'm saying that you have to get, you got to try and get Fallout 4, obviously. You got to get Witcher 3. If you have a Wii U, Splatoon is probably one of those new IPs that's going to be around for a long time. That actually surprised a lot of people with how good it was and how tight it played. And especially now, so much free DLC has come out for Splatoon that it's a completely different game almost than when it came out in May. There's so much stuff that you can download for it now. New modes, new characters, new weapons. If you're an Xbox One person, Rise of the Tomb Raider was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Great story. If you're more of a Telltale person, if you're an episodic person, you want to get them Tales from the Borderlands, probably. Tales from the Borderlands, I think, is a throwback for Telltale because it kind of it's he really lets them stretch their comedic roots. And if you love that universe, it's really, really funny. Great voice acting, you know, more of an adventure game, more point and click, but a great voice acting from Troy Baker and Laura Bailey really helps you sell it. So yeah, it's hard to just pick five. There were so many games this year, but I would definitely say if you're looking for bang for your buck, games like Witcher 3 and Fallout 4 are definitely at the top of the list because you're going to get so many hours of enjoyment out of them. If you're a Wii person, I would say Splatoon is probably at the top of your list. If you're an Xbox One person, I would say Rise of the Tomb Raider. That's right, Rise of the Tomb Raider more than Halo. I thought Halo was kind of disappointing this year, to be honest. And if you want something with more episodic, something that's on all systems, Tales from the Borderlands is definitely something that you should look out for because that's really a lot of fun and a great story. So I think that list there is a little something for everybody.
All right, good to go. One last, ask you a two-part question here. We're coming toward the end of 2015. Who are the biggest winners in 2015, and who do you project to be in the forefront of 2016?
The biggest winners of 2015, well, you know, I have to say, you know, a lot of smaller companies, CD Projekt Red, obviously, they developed The Witcher, that did phenomenally. Oh, goodness. You know, Bethesda, you know, also Fallout 4 again. Anybody who made an RPG this year pretty much won out. I'm trying to think. I mean, a lot of small developers, though, too. Like, Moon Studios, who made Ori and the Blind Forest, they got on the map. They put together a great Metroidvania that's in a lot of people's Game of the Year discussions. I'm trying to think. I mean, Square Enix had a good year with Just Cause 3. Coming out, and obviously they're positioning themselves for, I think, leading into 2016. 2016, you got to look at Square Enix with Hitman and Deus Ex coming out.
Yeah.
You got to look at Sony with Uncharted 4 coming out for 2016. I mean, those are the two that I'm definitely looking at forward to the most. You know, Sony's got the new Jack and Daxter coming. They got Uncharted. They probably have that new game Horizon First Dawn. First Dawn, I think it is. The one where you're fighting the robot dinosaurs, which looks phenomenal. They got that coming in 2016. So 2016 was a subpar year, I would say, for Sony. Or 2015, excuse me. And I think 2016, they're going to bounce back. And I think that... I think for 2015, your winners are your smaller developers, your places like CD Projekt Red, your Moon Studios. Because really none of the big three really had a very good year this year. Even with Microsoft and all their exclusives, they really didn't have a great year. Halo didn't sell as well as I thought it would. Tomb Raider definitely didn't sell as well as I thought it would. And I think going forward to 2016, I'm looking forward to, I think Square Enix is going to continue what was a strong end of the year for 2015 with games like Just Cause. And, you know, they still put out Tomb Raider. It was a good game. It's just a shame it's not selling well. And then you're going to have Deus Ex, and you're going to have Hitman. And Sony is gonna trump everybody with Uncharted, Jack and Daxter, Horizon First Dawn, and not to mention you're gonna probably at some point, hopefully, fingers crossed, which would be both good for Square Enix and Sony, Kingdom Hearts 3.
All right.
Don't hold your breath, but fingers crossed, dude. Fingers crossed, Kingdom Hearts 3.
All right, and there you have it, Ray Carcillo, review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com, if you want to check it out. Also, check out RayCarcillo.com if you have extra time. Also, if you want to follow Ray on Twitter, make sure you do that. It's at Ray Carcillo if you want to check him out on Twitter and Twitterland. Ray, thanks so much for joining us. Looking forward to speaking with you in 2016. It's going to be a big year, so thanks so much for contributing to the Sean Green Show, and you've been phenomenal, man.
Thank you, dude. I appreciate you having me on every week or so. And happy holidays and have a happy new year. And see you in 2016, dude.
All right, cool. We'll be back right after this.
Thanks for listening to The Sean Green Show, the entertainment guru. You can friend him on Facebook, Sean Green Show Media, or follow him on Twitter, at Sean Green Show. The Sean Green Show on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.